did a funeral yesterday. You know, funerals are not so bad when you know absolutely, positively for certain that they went to be with the Lord. And that's the way this one was. It was really more of a homegoing than it was. Of course, it's sad for us. But the lady that went home, once she's had one glimpse of heaven, she ain't coming back. But it's sad for us, you know. And so in the course of it, I said something like this. I said, you know, the Bible promises us that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that one's not going to be like this one. Be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. How about no more death? You know, I got to, and so that got my wheels going, thinking about the new heaven and the new earth. And then this morning I got up and the Lord started talking with me about that and in regard to the last Adam. So we're going to get a week-long seminar in about an hour here. I think you'll enjoy it. I know I will. So let's start here. Let's see one of the best passages in Scripture that gives us a really good idea of this new heaven and new earth that's coming. So open up to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I know I may have to start hiring Joe and paying him a salary. I understand he's our official Bible reader now. Alan's been, he says, well, all of the big wig preachers, they got a Bible reader. I said, well, I just don't go to fancy enough churches, I guess. I've never seen that. But I'm going to wind up doing this one because we didn't prepare. He didn't have a microphone. So now I'm going to read the whole chapter. And y'all pray for me. It's really hard for a teacher to read a whole chapter and not preach. But I don't need to. We're going to let Peter preach. Okay? Straight from the Word of God. Then we'll go from there. So 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. In both, and it means both epistles, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Don't preach, Gary. Read. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nonetheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Glory. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, this is a very important therefore, therefore, based on everything, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now from that passage, let's just glean a few things. The earth that is presently and everything in it, all the works thereof, is going to melt away. And actually, the one word where it says dissolved, scientifically, it means the atoms are going to come apart. When it says dissolved, I mean there's nothing left. So all of, my dad was in construction and proud of his work. Concrete is fairly stable. I can take you to projects that my dad and I did 50 years ago when I was a younger man. I'm young now, but I was younger then. And they're still right here in town. I can take you to some projects 50 years ago. But even the molecular structure of those works, Gary, don't be too proud of it. Don't make your life about that. Because even those molecules are going to come apart. The only thing you're going to carry from this world to the next is the labor you've done for Christ and the people that you helped in his name. That's it. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we're going to carry nothing out. I'm meditating on these things, talking about that. I really kind of started with that funeral yesterday, which got me thinking. You know, you can go back to Genesis. Don't go there. If you want to put a marker somewhere, put it in 1 Corinthians 15. That's where we're going next. But you can go back to Genesis, and when God was preparing this world that now is, He knew He was going to make the crown of His creation man, His beloved. You know, if we went back to Luke's genealogy in Luke chapter 3, it starts off and it goes so-and-so who was the son of so-and-so who was the son of so-and-so. And it goes all the way down until it comes to Adam. And it says, and Adam who was the son of God. Adam started off right. God put his own nature into Adam when he breathed that life into him. But see, first it was in that, when that creation, it's like the baby is coming. Now, expecting parents, when the wife is pregnant and they know the child is coming, and especially once you learn, nowadays you can usually find out if it's a boy or a girl, or maybe two boys or two girls. You start the preparations, don't you? You start, what room? Oh, this is going to be their room. Oh, it's a little boy. We're going to get some blue paint and we're going to do this and do that. And you start shopping, you know, and depending on your budget, you go to the flea markets or to the department stores, and you've got to have a bassinet. You got to have this, and you got. So the parents, with great joy and anticipation, they start preparing the place where their beloved child is going to be nurtured and grow up. Well, that's exactly what God did, preparing to create Adam. And you can read about it in Genesis chapter 1, how God said light be and light was, and he made the plants and he made the planets and he made the stars and he made everything that was and the fish and the birds and on and on and on. And every time when he made anything, he didn't just make it. It said he looked at it and it was very good. Why? He's preparing it for his child that's coming. He's preparing, getting it ready. Isn't that right? And then the day come. And Adam is his bouncing baby boy, if you'll allow me. He made his body from the earth. But Adam's life didn't come from the earth. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Something from the inside of God came into Adam. And man became a living soul. Isn't that good? Well, you know the whole story. Adam, he made woman from the side of man. I like that. He didn't take him from his foot. He didn't take her from his foot for man to rule over her. Didn't take her from the head so she'd rule over him. Took him from the side. They're co-laborers together. Helpers one of another. Amen? Well, you know what happened. The serpent comes, tempts Eve. She gets deceived. The Bible's real clear that Adam was not deceived. That's why sin is laid to his account, not hers. He made, and I can't preach that whole message, but she was deceived, okay? But see, Adam watched her eat that apple. For I don't know how long it was till the Holy Ghost finally got it across to me. Because it says she turned and gave to, and I don't mean apple, whatever the fruit was, okay? But it says she turned to him with her. That rascal was standing right there. He heard everything that Satan said. See, God had told him to dress and keep the garden. He should have kicked that interloper out first thing when he raised his head, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it, see? Well, anyway, he should have. So she was deceived, and so she partook. But he's watching. And he knew, see, if you... And again, this is a macro look today. We don't have time to get into every verse. God had already said, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. And Satan plainly, blatantly, boldly said, thou shalt not die. I mean, he came directly against the word of God. And then he added to it saying, God's holding back the good stuff from you. He knows if you eat that, you're going to be like him. Well, the thing of it is, they were already like him in many ways, you know. But she was deceived and she did it. Now, the thing of it is, God had said, the day you eat thereof, you surely die. Adam is watching. He's standing right there. And he watches her partake. Waiting for her to drop dead, I think. But he's watching. And he can't see her spirit. He had no idea that God was talking about die spiritually first. Die physically 900 and some odd years later for them. But he's watching her and she bit it. She swallowed it. And she didn't drop dead. Now he's got a choice to make. God's word says you'll surely die. Satan's word says, is going to say that? Satan's word is what he said. Satan's word says you'll not surely die. And Adam had a choice to make. I either believe the word of God by faith, or I take the evidence of my five physical senses and I believe the devil by what I see. Y'all ever heard a verse, the just shall live by faith and not by sight? That was the beginning of man living by sight, right there. And he chose to believe what Satan said. And he took of the apple without being deceived. He made a choice between believing God's word and believing his circumstances. So I like to say it this way. Not believing the word of God and trusting the circumstances instead, that was the way out of the garden. That's why today, if you'll allow me, salvation being a type of the garden, the only way back into the garden today is not being moved by what you see, but have faith in the word of God. No matter what you see. That was a good message. Thank you all for coming. Isn't that good? Isn't that a good refresher? But you know what happened, see? Because at that moment, Adam lost his dominion. Satan, it said, by one man's sin, death entered into the world. Isn't that right? By one man's disobedience, sin and death entered into the world. Then it talks about death reigning. We may get to those verses. I don't know if we'll make it that far today. But the whole world, if you'll allow me, became lost because every human on planet Earth, doesn't matter, white, black, brown, striped, polka dot, whatever you are, all of us came from Adam and Eve. Eve is called the mother of all living, see? And everybody was born with that sin nature. It's called the world. Adam lost his dominion. Well, we find out there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new world someday. You know, I've thought about this. I've thought, you know, at any time, if God was like most of us, or let's just say Gary, say, I've had it with you. That's it. I'm wiping you guys out. I'm starting over. You're toast. New heaven, new earth, would have started again. We came close to that in the days of Noah. Came real close. In fact, Peter mentioned that flood. He mentioned that in that very letter. Came close to that right there. It got down to one righteous man on planet Earth. I mean, how bad is that? Got down, there was one. I would even call his family righteous. But God saved the whole family. But out of the whole world, millions, no doubt, millions, maybe billions of people, I don't know. But out of all of them, one man and his family, 8 souls were saved. Now, at that time, God didn't make a new earth, but he sure did cleanse this earth. And it changed a lot. Before Noah, it never rained. It said the earth was watered by a mist. Can you tell it's different now? Before Noah, there was no rainbow. Something changed in the refraction in the atmosphere in order now that we have rainbows. See, I mean, so much changed. We don't know what really the earth was like before the flood. But it was still the earth. But Peter's talking about a new heaven and a new earth. He goes in such a detail, this one will not exist anymore. This new earth is not going to be a refurbishing of this one like the flood. No, this one, it clearly says, even the molecules, the elements, manganese, iron, all the elements, the atoms are going to come apart, dissolved. And God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Well, we just thought, now how did he make the first one? Well, he made it and got it all ready. Then he made his man. Isn't that right? But now this one, it's going exactly the opposite. Because in this one, there's a new Adam, all right. We're going to look at that verse in a minute. But in this one, he's making the people first. Then he's going to make the planet. Now let me show you what I mean. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 45 and 47. And the two things I want you to see out of here is that Jesus is called the last Adam. It's one thing. By the way, he is the last Adam. He's the second man. See, God himself has only ever made two men. He made the first man, Adam. He made the last man, Adam. What did he tell the first man? He made the first man, Adam and Eve. He says, okay, now you go make people. Isn't that right? Then they made the people. But then he made another people. In the womb of Mary, by the power of the Holy Ghost, he conceived one more person, one more human, one more God-man. And his name is Jesus Christ. Let's read the verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. We read that a while ago, or talked about that in Genesis. The last Adam, that's Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. That word quickening means life-giving. We're going to talk about the difference between a living soul and a quickening spirit here in just a moment. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, who's that? Adam. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, who's that? Jesus is the Lord from heaven. Now here's the difference between a living soul and a quickening spirit. God gave Adam and Eve the capacity to create. I mean, Dave has taught us eloquently along this line. It's so much on the born again trail if you want to go back and review. But God gave Adam and Eve the capacity to produce eternal creatures. That's what sets man above the animal kingdom. Animals can produce other animals, but they're not eternal. Man has something of God in him. And he gave Adam and Eve the capacity, the ability to produce spirits that did not exist before. Now that's important. Dave goes through it line by line. See, I wasn't taught that. I was taught that God created the little spirits in heaven. And then he chose what bodies to put them in when people are born. But you're not going to find that in the Bible. You're really not going to find that. No, he gave Adam and Eve that responsibility. And the children that they produce, and I like how Dave says it, at the first cell division, that little spirit is created. Heaven is going to be full of aborted children. That's the only good thing. And the children of war and other famine and other things. God's really smart. Okay. That's not today's lesson. Now, the important thing to understand, Adam and Eve, when they had children, those spirits did not exist before. Have you got that? Now, once Adam and Eve fell, and they fell before they had children, now here's the problem. They are producing eternal spirits, all right, that are going to live somewhere forever. But their nature has fallen. Every single person produced from Adam and Eve and from their children and from their children, that spiritual DNA, what the Bible calls the law of sin and death, is born in them. Generation after generation. See, Jesus, he says, don't think I've come to condemn the world. The world is condemned already. You've got to understand. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees one time, it's supposed to be the religious people of the day. The people looked at them as the standards of holiness. And Jesus plainly looked them right in the eye and says, you are of your father, the devil. We look at our little babies, like that one, these two lovely little children going right now. And we think, can't be children of the devil. I'll slap you, Gary. I want to slap myself looking at Anastasia. But see, if it hadn't already happened, one of these days, now I don't want to prophesy, but one of these days, little sweet Anastasia, most likely, is going to tell a little lie. And Joe's going to look at his wife and go, when did you teach her to do that? Have you been having lying classes while I've been going to work? She'll say, no, I thought you did it. No. That nature is starting to mature. That law of sin and death, that's in every person. That law of sin and death is already starting to bear fruit now, see. So you got to get this picture. I'm not going to have them come up and be the world again. We ought to picture the whole world. If you could picture all of the human race walking by here, all of them, they're already condemned. The world is already headed for hell. And that's just the way it is. It's not God's fault. Adam sent them there. You got that? Now, Dave, when he would do what I'm about to do, he would hold up his yellow pad. And what was the proper response? Oh, no, the dreaded yellow pad. Mine aren't yellow, but say, oh no, the dreaded white paper. Let me finish talking about Adam just for a moment. Adam and Eve had the ability through their God-given, what God gave them to do, they could produce living souls. Now, they had death in their nature, but they were animated beings. They were, you know, the people. But here's the difference between a living soul and a quickening spirit. What Adam could only produce, what was already in him. He could not take a spiritually dead person and make them alive. Jesus can. That's what he is. He is a quickening, life-giving spirit. He is able to take that which is dead. And not just... See, Lazarus was raised from the dead. Just one of many. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he was not birthed from the dead. When Lazarus was... Before he died, he had the law of sin and death working in him. Did he not? He died... He was raised from the dead, and when he was raised from the dead, he still had the law of sin and death working in him. Now, that's everybody raised from the dead. That's the way it was until Jesus. Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. His spirit went from death to life. So I was meditating on 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. From Strong's Concordance, the word last there does not mean second, but rather it means the final, the end, the last one. But there is not another Adam coming. Jesus is the last one. There's not another Savior waiting in the wings. Buddha is not coming. Muhammad or anybody else is not, Allah is not coming. The last Adam has come. Okay. When was Adam made a living soul? Genesis 2:7 says it was when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So here is the picture. God had taken the dust of the earth and formed Adam's body. It was on the earth, if you'll allow me. There's a body made of the elements of the earth. But it's lifeless. God breathed life into it. James 2:26 says, the body without the spirit is dead. Remember that? Now, I saw it in a vision form. It's not on here one time. I saw it literally. I saw the second man. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ, second member of the Godhead in his pre-incarnate form, whatever that was. You know how visions are. But he walked right up to that dead, lifeless body that was there. He picked Adam up, the body, and I saw him bend over and breathe life. See, Adam was born with the very nature of God on the inside. And that's why in Luke's genealogy, he is called Adam, the Son of God. Got that? Now, he wasn't deity, but he had that very life of God on the inside of him, had the nature of God. Isn't that good? Okay. I saw a mental image of Jesus' body in the tomb after the crucifixion. Dead, lifeless. While the spirit of Jesus was in the lower part of the earth paying the price for sin. And suddenly it dawned on me, it was an exact parallel to the first Adam. Remember, his body was on the earth but had no life? Well, here's Jesus' body in the tomb, and it has no life. God had placed Adam on the earth in a righteous condition, but Adam had sinned. By his sin, condemnation had come upon all men. All men were under the penalty of eternal judgment, because God will in no wise clear the guilty. Nor will he alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. In other words, if Adam sins, Adam has to die. Isn't that right? So God sent forth his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might taste death for every man. In other words, he came in the likeness of fallen Adam, so that the punishment of Adam's sin could be laid on him instead. And not just Adam's sin, but the sins of the whole species of Adam. Once Jesus had paid the price, the species of Adam had run its course. Adam had been placed, from God's point of view, Adam had been placed on the earth, had sinned, had come under condemnation. But in Jesus, Adam died. And in Jesus, the price, the penalty, was paid. All this Jesus did in the likeness of the first Adam. But now God was about to do a new thing. God was going to, see, from God's point of view, when Jesus died on the cross, all of Adam died in him. Jesus didn't die as himself. He didn't die for his own sins. He stepped in the place of Adam. The whole species of Adam. From God's point of view, the day Jesus died, Adam died. Even though, I'm going to get to this in a minute. Now, Gary was born 2,000 years later. And even when I was born, I was already dead. From God's point of view. Because I died when Christ died. Because I'm of the line of Adam when I'm first born. You got this? Okay. But now God was about to do a new thing. He was going to start a new species of being. Well, here is Adam's body in the tomb. Now, you do now get this part. This is important. When Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, his spirit came from God. Agreed? Agreed? That's what he had. Like Dave said, it had to be that way because you cannot get a Savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. He could not be from the line of Adam. So his spirit came from God. That's how he could live like he did and die as the spotless lamb. But you got to understand his body, his physical body, it came through Mary. And that body you can trace all the way back to Adam. So his body was no different than yours. His body was as fallen, had the same appetites, the same natures, the same motions of sin in it as anybody else's. Same thing that tempt you would, if it tempts your flesh, it would tempt his flesh. You got that? So his spirit is of God, but that body is of Adam. Now here we go, and this was the parallel. I saw Adam's body in the garden, lifeless. And I saw Adam's body, if you'll allow me, in the tomb. That body is from Adam. But God's going to take that body, just like yours, and he is going to start a new species. I'm being really careful not to say a new race. Within the species of man, there are many races. You got that? God's about to start a new species. And he's starting right where he started in the beginning, with a lifeless body. Sue's getting it. Sue's getting it. She's liking this. But he's going to start a new species. Now see, God, I want to say again right here at this point, he could have said, forget it. I'm just going to wipe everybody out. I'm going to erase the universe. I'm going to start again. Brand new, new heaven, new earth, new stars, new everything, new Adam, new Eve. But God's not a quitter. He loves mankind. He loves people. He said, I want to save as many as I can. Now you're ready? Fasten your seatbelt. When Jesus, his species is not the same as how Adam and Eve, he doesn't create people the same way Adam and Eve did. Adam and Eve, when they made a person, that spirit in that person did not exist before. Jesus does not do that. He takes that dead spirit of that person that will hear the gospel. And he quickens that spirit from death to life. You get that? He's not creating spirits that didn't exist. He's taking the fallen spirits of Adam and quickening them to new life and putting them back in these Adamic bodies. And he's going now live for God. Go preach the kingdom, raise the dead, heal the sick. Oh, by the way, you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Whoosh. Now in my name. And this time, he is preparing the people first Then he's going to make the new heavens and the new earth. I think Alan one time said, now that does by necessity mean, you know, if he's going to burn this one up and even the elements are going to come apart, you do understand we got to be somewhere else while that happens. There is going to be a catching away out of here. Now, we can all argue about pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, post-thousand years, whatever. Okay? But I do know we're going to go for a while somewhere else while this earth burns up. And he makes a brand new one. And then we, the Bible calls us the heavenly Jerusalem. Bible calls us the bride of Christ. All those, we come down with him. See, man's home is never really going to be heaven. We might go there temporarily while he makes a new heaven and a new earth. But he intended for man to live on earth. Bless God, man's going to live on earth. Now, he has to make a new one. But that was always his plan. Y'all getting anything out of that? So Jesus is the last Adam, but he's not creating new spirits from nothing the way Adam and Eve did. No. God, we just read it. God is not willing that any should perish. Now, if you can picture with me, see, I have a picture. There's a movie going on while you're watching me. In my movie, I see all of mankind walking, just walking along here. They're just walking, and they're going off into hell. God doesn't want that. He's not willing that any should perish. But if something doesn't happen, they're all going to perish. Now, we've been assigned to go preach the good news. Perishing people, you don't have to perish. The price has been paid. Jesus has come. The Savior has already paid the penalty for you. If you'll receive Him, He will quicken you to new life. But then when you, I'm not a rocket scientist, but if I can see flames up ahead, and there's an exit? Come on now. I want the exit. I can smell sulfur. I think I'm going to go this way, you know. Amen? But see, that's kind of how I got saved. I just wanted fire insurance. I didn't really understand God wanted me to be a new creature. See, Peter ends that up saying, if you know these things, what kind of person ought you to be? How did he say that? That you may be found of him in peace. Now notice, without spot and blameless. Recently I did another illustration. I'm not going to ask you guys to do it again. But I had those four come up and stand here. And I had Mary Leval come up. And she was just part of the world originally. I mean, everybody born that way. We're all born in the world. But Mary heard the gospel. She says, I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to live for you. But she's like the Romans 7 person. I love your law. I want to keep your law. Every time I try and keep it, I fail. Why? What's wrong with me? Well, you're part of the world. You've got that law of sin and death working in you, you know. And Israel proved for how many hundreds of years? Nobody could keep the law. No matter how much they tried. Why? There was a fatal flaw. It's called the law of sin and death. But see, when you receive Jesus, He quickens you. He doesn't just forgive you and leave you an old sinner with that law of sin and death. He fixes the flaw. That's why God made a new covenant, which is established on better promises. Instead of man always trying to keep the law and failing because of that flaw, He says, I'm going to fix the flaw. And if you'll believe in my Son, Jesus will quicken you. Basically, the life that's in Him, He's going to duplicate that life in you. That life that quickened Him from death to life, you get the same life. And then you're born again. Now, in that vision, I had Mary. She's just freshly saved. She's just out of the world. But she's got her hands holding on to the world. Because they're soul ties and flesh ties. You know, the flesh likes the high of drugs. The flesh likes maybe adultery, fornication. The flesh likes stuff. We could go on and on. Doesn't matter, whatever yours is. But he's saying, come out from among them and be you separate. Now, basically, said, you told me you wanted to live righteous. Now I have enabled you to do it. But now you got a choice to make. You didn't really have a choice before. See, this is Romans 6. I don't know if you know it or not. This is Romans 6. You were the slaves of sin. But having been made free from sin, now present your bodies unto righteousness. Honey, that's a choice. You're hanging on to alcohol, hanging on to it. Weed. Opiates. Fornication, whatever it is. He's saying, you're not a slave to that anymore. Come out from among them, be you separate. And how many of you know he's long suffering? Yeah. If you don't believe that, look at how he's dealt with you. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Amen? As long as there's breath, there's hope. He's still dealing with you. Come out. Because if you don't, this is really a message I did earlier already. I read it to you several places. If you die in chronic fornication, you're going to hell. See all those amens? That's not popular. That is exactly what the Bible teaches. If you die in adultery, if you die as a drunkard, if you don't come out, if you die in that condition, it says you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not a popular gospel. I don't care what's popular. I only care what's popular with Jesus. Amen? He has enabled us to come out. And bless God, we need to come out. That's what Peter's warning them about. Come out, he says. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked. What's the error of the wicked? I can sin and grace covers it. No, grace empowered you to come out of it. Now you better come out of it. I know. But he wants to make it clear, because I'll tell you the truth, this generation has been so mistaught. They've been so mistaught. They think they're going to be okay because they're sorry. No, you're going to be okay if you quit. See, I got one that's right. You're not okay because you're sorry and still in it. That's a false gospel. You can go through the book of Revelations. All of the promises in there are to him that overcomes. You can't find a single one to him that does not. God could have wiped out the entire species of Adam, burn up the earth and consume the heavens with fire. He could have just wiped the slate clean and started all over again with a new heaven and a new earth. He came close to that in the time of Noah. There's only one righteous man on the earth. But the Lord, because he's generous, he saved Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. But he's not going to start over with a new Adam, starting to create people from scratch. You know what I mean by that? Okay. He is actually creating, or more accurately, recreating the people ahead of time. Before he creates the new heaven and the new earth. He is creating those people by birthing them to new life from the dead species of Adam. He does this by the power of the second man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not creating people from nothing in the same way that the first Adam did. He is not spawning a new species, quote, from scratch. He is spawning a new species from the old species of Adam. Adam could impart his fallen nature into his children, but Adam could not quicken that fallen nature from death back to life. But Jesus, the second man, the last Adam, He does precisely that. Jesus is producing a new spirit. Jesus is producing a new species that never existed before. But he is doing it by imparting life to the dead species of Adam for all who will believe. Now hang on, give me just a second here. There it is. Go to Romans 5. Now, even as I said all that, let me say it another way. Going back to the parents expecting the baby. When that baby is born, the house is full of joy. My bouncing baby boy. My bouncing baby girl. Do you know when you get born again, God has that same exact... What does it say? Heaven has more. Heaven rejoices more over one sinner that repents. When you get born again, God's going, that's my boy. Now you may be... Let's just talk about Gary. The week that I got born again, Gary was a virtual alcoholic. I had pornography in the house. Rock music was an idol to me, and money was my God. Now, that's Gary, the week he got born again, okay? And God looks at Gary that very day, that instant I got saved with all that baggage. That's my boy. Hallelujah. Have a party in heaven. Gary repented. Well, at that point, all Gary repented of was, I want Jesus. Really, at that point, all Gary knew is there's the exit. It was more fire insurance than anything else. Okay. That's about all I knew. He died for me. I'm getting out of here. Wrong line. I'm going over there. Okay. But then he started dealing with me, just like in Corinthians there. He says, now, Gary, I need you to come out. He didn't word it that way. But preaching began coming from the inside out. That's how it works. And that right away, he said, well, this pornography's got to go. You talk about an unrenewed mind. Here's my new man receiving information, you know, from this pornography's got to go. And my natural man argued with it. Now, you know how much money we've got invested in this? Dear Lord. Argued with him. Then he took. But anyway, within a few days, it left. Then he wanted my music. Now, he doesn't always come after music. He'll deal with your idols. He never had to deal with me with gossip. But anyway, I've heard there's people that may be an issue. Okay. You understand what I'm... That's why I can't put you under what he tells me. Well, and now, Nathan. Nathan's right, though, when he says there are some absolutes that's for everybody. Fornication's wrong for everybody. Adultery is wrong for everybody. Drunkenness is wrong for everybody. Lying is... Okay? But what I'm saying is not everything is an idol. Because music was an idol to me doesn't mean music was an idol to you. Okay. Got that. All right, enough on that. We're going to run out of time. Because I wonder... Did I say go to Romans 5? I did really good. Now, if I can just turn to it myself here. All right. Let's start in verse 12. Again, we're going to... I don't think we read enough scripture in church. The Lord keeps reminding me, son, you don't understand. For a lot of people that come, this is the only time their Bible gets read. Yes, sir. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, now this is talking about how sin and death entered the world through the first man, Adam, and how Jesus has set us free. Okay? Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, and for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now nevertheless, death reigned. R-E-I-G-N-E-D. Death ruled and reigned from Adam to Moses. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Now, I like to stop right there and ask, how much did death reign? How much did it reign? You know anybody that got off this planet without it? 100%. You know anybody that ever lived and didn't sin? Death reigned 100%, didn't it? But what's amazing, even though death reigned like that 100%, much more. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace, now get this, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now let's stop for just a moment. Go back to the world going off to hell. Here comes the exit sign. Yeah, you've got the law of sin and death working in you. Even if you want to keep the law, you can't keep it. You try and you keep failing. But God offers you salvation through Jesus Christ. You take the exit. You get out of the line. You know what happens at that moment? That quickening spirit quickens your spirit from the law of sin and death. And he quickens it to righteousness itself. See, Ephesians chapter 4 says that new man, that new you, when you get recreated, he said that is created after the image of God. I like to say from the get-go, instantly, in righteousness and true holiness. The real you, it is a gift. You did not earn it. You did not do work for it. You didn't have to give indulgences for it. You couldn't pay for it. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't clean up your act for it. It's a free gift. And God's given it to you so you can come out of the world and live holy and righteous in this world. Be a shining light. Matthew 13 somewhere, he says, the righteous shall shine forth as the sun. You are that golden man on the inside. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? And set, it's like God, he unzipped the flesh for a moment where they could see the real nature of Jesus. He said his clothes and his being was whiter than a fuller's white. You know, it's just, you couldn't even look at it. Do you know if we could unzip you? Unzip your flesh. And see the real you, you would shine exactly the same. You know why? It's the same life. It's that same righteous spirit, and it's a gift. The gift of righteousness. He says, I gave it to you free. But see, Paul over and over again, now Paul says, I want you to walk worthy. The gift was free. But how much you walk in it? Now we're Galatians 5. You learn to either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. But if you learn how to walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. These two are contrary, the one to the other. And you're not going to walk in both. He said to me, one of you is going to be on the cross every day. Either your spirit or your flesh. Let me finish Romans 5 here. Verse 17 again, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You're supposed to rule and reign. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Glory. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, I want to finish this up this way. There are two species on planet Earth. One is headed by Adam. And if you remain in Adam's line, there's only one end for you. And that's going to be hell. The world is condemned already. You got that? But out of that line, Jesus, through the gospel, is salvaging, could I say saving, everyone that he possibly can. He is not creating spirits from scratch like the first Adam. He is taking those fallen spirits and all who will believe, all who will hear the gospel, all who will obey. He's snatching them out of that line. Bringing them out of that line. And he quickens them from death to life. He gives them as a free gift the very righteousness of God. And who you are at your core is that new man. That's why Alan teaches us over and over again, you are not your struggles. You are righteous and holy. And you've got war against that flesh body to bring it under subjection. That's the struggle, but that's not you. You are the righteous, holy child of the living God. So let's look at these two species. I got Adam's species and Jesus Christ's species. By the way, in Adam's species, we wound up with many races. You can look around and see that. Raise your hand, Seneca. She's my sister. We got the same daddy. Don't we look alike? Don't we? Well, we got the same daddy. Now see, our body is from another mother. But we got the same daddy. So what I'm saying is, in Adam, there are many races, but it's all one species. Did you know in Jesus Christ, there are no races? There really aren't. There's not even nationalities. There's neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, male, nor not even male nor female. You talk about equal. We're all equal in Christ. Anyway. In Adam's species, it says if you're of Adam, you have the spirit of the world in you. But if you're of Jesus Christ, you have the spirit which is of God. Okay? If you're in Adam's species, you have the law of sin and death. But if you're of Jesus Christ, the law of the spirit of life is working in you. If you're in Adam, you're condemned already. But if you're in Jesus Christ, he says, you shall not come into condemnation. Whew. If you're of Adam's species, Ephesians tells you you're without hope and without God in the world. But if you're of Jesus Christ, you have been made sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. In Adam's species, you have a sinful nature. In Jesus Christ's species, you have a righteous nature. It's a gift. No matter how you acted, it's in there. In Adam's species, you're a slave of sin. But in Jesus Christ's species, you have been made free from sin. Adam's species, you have no authority in this world to speak of, just what man gives you. But in Christ's species, you have all authority in heaven and earth in the name of Jesus Christ. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth, loosed in heaven. That's another. If you're of Adam's species, you're still subject to sickness and disease. But Jesus plainly says, if you're in his, you're the master of sickness and disease. One more. In Adam's species, you're subject to all kinds of demonic power. But in Jesus Christ's species, even the devils are subject unto you through his name. I'm glad I took the exit. I know you're glad you took the exit. But he is calling us into a more narrow walk, which is going to be a higher walk. We're coming into the new year, coming up close. It's time to spend some time with him. Say, Lord, is there any, am I still hanging on to anything? Anything I'm hanging on to, it's of the world. It's not of you. I want it gone. Well, so does he. And the truth of it is, you're already able to walk free from it. He'll help you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Did you get anything out of that?